Greetings to the Deputy Minister, Deputy Minister Mapulane, people from the department, the Council of CASA, as led by the Chair, Dr. Modume. We also would have BBI. I was trying to check on the platform if I'm able to pick up, as led by their board and the executive, civil society, groupings that are on the platform, and all other participants in the platform. Fellow South Africans who are following deliberations of this committee in one way or the other. I take the opportunity to officially open this meeting. Of course, we did receive some apologies of joining late and so on. I think it's a matter we'd have to deal with for another time. That given connectivity problems, I think we should
recording in progress
in the house try to establish a connection quite early so that the meetings are able to start on time. So I take it that for the next meeting, we would not really have to delay the start because we're trying to get people in. But this film, as I said, officially welcomed. Of course, we are holding our meeting at a time when the country is focusing on the 16 days of activism for the violence against women and children. And that as public representatives in different ways, where we are able to influence, where we live, where we work, where we enjoy ourselves, that would use those platforms as areas for drastic action to show that this scourge has to be eradicated from our society. Without, of course, waste of time, I know that there are apologies of clashing meetings where there should be accountability also elsewhere. I will deal quickly with the formalities. Firstly, just to remind ourselves of on the rules of engagement on virtual platforms. Let's remember that at all times that our mics would have to be muted, video cameras off, unless you have been recognized by the chairperson to speak. In that case, you'll have to switch your video camera on and unmute your mic. But in a situation where you're experiencing connectivity challenges, you will indicate for the record of the meeting that you're experiencing such challenges and should be able to proceed, because in that way you'll be maximizing your bandwidth and allowing the meeting to have a flow. For those who would be on the platform, and from time to time, you may also be having connectivity problems. Just ensure that at all times, even when you are rejoining the session, that you join with your mic muted, as well as your video camera off. As such, if not followed, it can just distract a speaker that may be on the platform at the time. So if we can keep to that, that would be helpful. Of course, given that in a meeting, there may be point of orders that members may want to raise, let's ensure that you do not unmute and then raise a point of order. That at all times you'd get the recognition of the chairperson who, if you are not seen by the chair, would be assisted by the committee support to identify that there is a member whose hand is up and the chair would recognize. Only at that point that you would then be able to speak, having been recognized by the chair to unmute your mic. We are also advised, honorable members, not to raise unnecessary point of orders, which may in a way collapse the meeting in this platform. So I'm raising this just to remind ourselves, otherwise we have been able to adhere to these rules, but I'm also helping those that may be participants in the platform for the first time. Having said that, honorable members, I would now, for purposes of record, check with the committee support for us to record apologies received for this meeting for purposes of record.
Morning, Chairperson. We have an apology from the minister who's not in the country. And then, as indicated earlier, we have apologies from Ms. Kobeka and Ms. Mutembu, who both are attending doctor's appointments. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I do know that there's been an indication that we do have the deputy minister who would introduce the entities that are coming before us. However, he would also want to be excused probably in an hour to also go and account in a portfolio committee. I think that will be Home Affairs and another one, where CETA needs to get back to report to the portfolio committee as part of the accountability on their work and how they relate with the other departments. So I just want us to take note of that, that after he would have spoken, once there's an indication that the other committee would start, he would also have to go and account on the other side. Otherwise, we do have the entities on the platform and members would have received the presentations. So please do add that in the apologies that would have been received, because I would have agreed that indeed it must start with us as the main committee, and we'll see how we proceed from that point. So having said that, honorable members, we would then get to the notice convening this meeting, which you would have duly received, that we are looking at two items in the main. One item relates to a briefing by ICASA on an update on the spectrum auction process and municipal elections broadcast and political advertisement amendment regulations 2021. Thereafter, we'll take a briefing by Broadband Infraco, a BBI, on addressing areas of underperformance such as information and data security, as well as its financial stability. So we'll take those two presentations. But as it is the norm, would allow the deputy minister to do a brief political overview, also on matters that he would want to take the committee into confidence of, which may be matters of public interest also. So we'll give him that. Thereafter, the deputy minister then will start counting the time for the presentations. The take is really that members have gone through the presentations. And of course, we'll know what questions to ask, but we do give space for those points that you would want to highlight on the presentation. And of course, if there may be changes or updates on some of the matters, that's an opportunity to do so, so that when members engage the discussion, they are well briefed on that. So that's really where we are. So we'll take 15 minutes each after the deputy minister. So I'm just preparing yourselves so that you know which areas you'd want to spend time on. And thereafter, we get members to engage. I do know that there's also a house sitting, which is quite important for members to attend, and others are attending physically. So we'll take that into account. So we're trying to be, we'll try and be quite qualitative in the way you are handling the discussions like we usually do. So it's two presentations. But for now, I'll now recognize the Deputy Minister, Deputy Minister Mapulane. I take it that you can hear properly from your side and that you are ready to take us through. Over to you, Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And good morning to all the honorable members on the platform. And the delegation from the entities, the chair of both the CASA as well as BBI, and the officials from the department and the entities. Thank you very much, Chair, for giving us this opportunity to once more come before your honorable committee to brief you on the matters that we've requested to be briefed on. Today is we are here with the two entities as we requested, ICASA as well as the BBI. I'm not going to be very long, Chair, in my introduction. I think the main issues will be covered by both the entities when they do their presentation. But firstly, Chair, just to extend the apology of the minister, which has already been indicated that she's not around, she's out of the country. And so I'm leading the delegation from the department today. Chair, ICASA's briefing is going to focus on two issues, as you requested, on update on the process of the licensing of the spectrum, as well as the monitoring of the local government elections that has just passed. On the licensing process, I think information is fairly out there about the process that ICASA has been following. From the ministry side, we just want to express our appreciation that litigation that was instituted against this process has still been, has since been concluded, and ICASA has published, as all of us know, what they call the truncated timetable towards the final licensing of the spectrum, which is going to be in March 2022. Up to so far, the process has been going well, has been well managed by ICASA. We're quite comfortable with how ICASA has been managing this process. As we know that there was some litigation regarding the temporary allocation, which we have been informed by ICASA that it has also been successfully resolved. So as matter stands, there is no outstanding litigation against this process. We are observing how the regulator is going about in terms of the different timetables, the different timelines that they've put for themselves. So we are quite comfortable with that process, Chair. As we know that it is in the interest of the country that spectrum is permanently allocated. Now, Chair, on the monitoring, I think ICASA will speak more on what they've done. From the report that we have received from them, it doesn't seem like there were many complaints that were received during the elections and the broadcast that was taking place by the different broadcasters. And so the details of it will be shared with us by the chair together with the team. Moving to the BBI, Chairperson, you have requested a briefing on the financial performance of the entity. Now, there are three areas around which the entity will be briefing the honorable members of the portfolio committee. They will be taking us through the financial performance, and they will also briefly reflect on one issue that was highlighted by the Auditor General under cybersecurity. And lastly, they will be briefing yourselves, Chair, on the process towards the merger between BBI and Sentech. Chair, on the financial performance, I think one issue to be noted is that the entity has not been performing up to its optimum levels, mainly because of the underinvestment in the critical infrastructure. The entity is raising an issue about the shareholder investment, that the last time the shareholder put up an investment was around 2011 financial year. And since then, there has not been any significant investment into the entity. And this underinvestment or lack of investment has resulted in a situation where the entity was not able to perform in line with its other peers in the market. But I'm happy to report, Chair, and I think it's an issue that we raised in the past, a confirmation that the shareholder loans have since been converted into equity. And this has resulted in a net asset value of the company in terms of its balance sheet. And so this conversion presents an opportunity for the entity to be able to go to the financial markets to raise the required capital so that they can invest in critical infrastructure. The entity has identified a need to raise about 1 billion over a period of 4 years, which will be invested in the infrastructure. They will be continuing obtaining the necessary approvals internally from their board. And if the board do agree with the intention, the entity will then be going into the market. The intention is to approach the development finance institutions, the DBSA and others like the IDT, in order to raise this capital to invest in a critical infrastructure. Over the years, over the past 6 years, they have indicated that they've, out of the cash reserves that they're generating from the operations, they have spent a total of about 460 million investing in infrastructure, which was not sufficient. And we think that after this conversion, I think the entity should be able to ramp up its performance after the necessary investments that have been done. We all know that it's not really possible to approach the national fiscus now, given the constrained fiscal environment under which we are operating. So the best route is to approach the financial markets to seek to raise this capital so that there can be the necessary investment. So as you can see, and I'm sure all of the honorable members have been aware that over time, there has been an issue raised by the Auditor General around the going concern status of the company, precisely because of these loans that were sitting in the balance sheet. But that has since been sorted out, Chair. And I think the details of that, the Chair as well as the CEO will speak to that. Chair, you also asked that you should get a briefing on an issue that was raised by the Auditor General and on cybersecurity. And I think the entity is reporting that almost about 88% of all the audit findings by the Auditor General has since been resolved successfully. So that is not going to present any challenge going forward. The last issue, Chair, is the merger between CENTEC and BBI, which I'm sure you have been briefed in the past, that is a matter that is resulting from the Presidential Commission on the SOEs that has identified this merger between the two entities, which will result in the establishment of the State Digital Infrastructure Company. That process has been ongoing, Chair, for some time. In the recent past, in August, the Minister Chavin, directed that we should, or the two entities should take a different course of action in order to accelerate the process. That instead of preparing legislation, amending legislation which would go through parliamentary process, she directed that the best and the quickest route is to explore an option of acquisition, that BBI should acquire CENTEC. The reason for that is that when you look at the two legislation, enabling legislation, the BBI legislation is quite empowering, and it does facilitate that the new entity can perform both the functions that are being performed by, or the activities that are being performed by BBI as well as CENTEC. So that is the rationale behind seeking to acquire one by the other. But it's a matter that is still ongoing within the department. We anticipate that if everything else goes according to plan, we might finalize this process by the end of this financial year. It is an intention. I know that some may argue that we are being too ambitious, but as of now, that is the target that we are working on, Chairperson, so that we can finally have the two entities merging. We can deal with the uncertainties that continues to exist within these two entities. So in a nutshell, Chair, those are the issues that will be presented to yourself by the two entities. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chairperson.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. We can then look at the presentation by CASA.
My apologies, Chair. I know that you did indicate that I've requested to be released. I just want to confirm that if it's possible, Chair, within an hour, if the meeting exceeds that point, if I may be released. Thank you.
No, thank you, Deputy Minister. We'll take note of that. May I then invite CASA, as led by the Chair of the Council.
Thank you, and greetings to the honourable members, Honourable Chair Manelli, and members of the Portfolio Committee. I would like to then take the honourable members through ICASA's presentation. In the main, we have touched on the issues. The issues which we are expected to present on today, we have been touching on them over the past weeks as we appeared before the Portfolio Committee. But we are here to present on two aspects. One is the spectrum licensing process, as well as the elections monitoring activities by ICASA. I will try to be very brief but detailed, so that we just cut to the chase, Honourable Manelli. Next slide. So ICASA has embarked on a process to license high demand spectrum. We tried and attempted to do so in March of 2021. As honorable members would recall, we were then litigated by a number of operators in our field, both on the free-to-air broadcasting side, ETV, as well as on the telco side by Telkom. We were interdicted. We embarked on out-of-court negotiations that translated into a form of a settlement, even though the settlement was such that we could not proceed straight to auction. We have now embarked on a process of public consultation. The first information memorandum consultation closed about 2 weeks back. We analyzed and we opened another round of consultation, which closes today on the 30th of November at 4 p.m. This consultation that I'm referring to on the second IM information memorandum is to solicit further inputs from interested stakeholders, members of the public, and all industry players on how they think we can best configure the auction. Now we will post today's closing date. We will then, on an expedited basis, work towards the publication of the invitation to apply, better known as the ITA. We will publish the ITA sometime in December, with a closing date for the ITA being the end of January. Now, subsequent to the ITA, we will then move to the stage of announcing the qualified bidders, and then in March of 2022, we will commence with the auction process. Honorable members, the auction process, or auction as a means of spectrum assignment, is international best practice, honorable members. It is transparent, it is used all over the world, and it ensures that spectrum ends up going to the highest bidder. In that case, it means he who values that particular spectrum pocket the most will then get it. And auctions are good because they help to determine the real value of the spectrum at a particular point. So just to put it in context, we are embarking on a process that is transparent. An auction is transparent. An auction is competitive. And we then know that through that auction process, we will be able to raise whatever amount of monies, billions for the national fiscus. So I thought it's important that I just clarify why it's important that we stick to an auction as a best method, international best practice, even as canvassed by the ITU. Now, this one will take us to an auction period of March 2022. Now, I would like to move on to the next segment of what was known as the provisional spectrum. So we had temporary spectrum licensed. So this is like a part B. We had temporary spectrum licensed when COVID hit our shores last year. That temporary spectrum expires today, the 30th of November. It will be the end of the temporary spectrum as we know it. When we announced this decision in August, we were then litigated upon by a number of industry players, even though there are those who sided with ICASA, the likes of RAIN, that ICASA was making the right decision. Be that as it may, ICASA embarked on another process to introduce what is now known as provisional spectrum licensing. Provisional spectrum licensing will begin from tomorrow, the 1st of December, until the 30th of June 2022. It's 7 months. It will end on the 30th of June 2022, or 3 months after the termination of the national state of disaster, whichever comes first. Honorable members, through this process of the provisional spectrum licenses, we are glad to announce that ICASA has managed to raise 200 million rands for the national fiscus only over a period of 7 months. This 200 million rand is made up by acquisition fees, application fees, as well as the spectrum utilization or usage fees. When ICASA was at pains over the past few months to explain how the temporary spectrum process was not transparent, was not competitive, and was really, you know, in a manner that does not derive adequate financial value for the fiscus. This is exactly what we were talking about. Now we have a provisional spectrum licensing regime that gives spectrum to 6 operators, infrastructure players. They are all accommodated. We have now managed to attain or achieve 200 million rands over a period of 7 months for the national fiscus. Competition aspects have been, you know, somewhat addressed in the interim, as well as issues of transparency now that everyone has been accommodated. It is an important step to note, the honorable members, that sometimes when the authority tries to defend public interest, this is what we really try to achieve. And we are glad that today we have really achieved exactly what we wanted on the public interest side without compromising or collapsing industry or commercial interest. Because we are not regulating for market failure. We are not regulating against industry. We regulate in the public interest. And that public interest will only be achieved if industry is also thriving. So I think, by way of summary, on the provisional spectrum, that's what I would also like to say. Now you can move, Nico. I'm just trying to summarize for our honorable members. The third part of the spectrum, honorable Chairman Ely, is the wireless open access network, known as the WOAN. The WOAN is intended to achieve the introduction of a new, you know, market player who is a wholesale operator by nature. Now, we have taken a decision as ICASA to, in the intervening period between now and March of 2022, to, you know, conduct the further research and applicable international interactions with countries that have licensed the WOAN, so that we can learn better what to avoid, what to enhance, to ensure that the WOAN becomes a success in our country. ICASA is still committed to the WOAN. There will still be a spectrum set aside for the WOAN. In the intervening period between now and March, we'll be embarking on those international activities I have mentioned, whilst also focusing on the spectrum auction, so that the auction can conclude in March and we can now seamlessly kickstart the process of outlining the next licensing steps for the WOAN. The WOAN is still alive. And as I've said, even as we go for an auction, there will still be spectrum set aside for the WOAN. So there should not be any apprehension out there that ICASA may be abandoning the WOAN all willy-nilly. We are still embarking on that process. It has to be an informed process, and we need to ensure that by the time the WOAN is licensed, it's licensed having taken into account a number of economic considerations internationally, which includes the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on market structures and on telecommunications sectoral configurations, because markets are changing as a result of the pandemic. Markets are consolidating, you know, from 4-player markets to 2-player markets in some respects. So as the regulator, we believe in making informed decisions. Now, honorable members, that's the section that deals with spectrum. It was around the auction. I've explained it was around the provisional spectrum licensing. I've explained. And then the last part was around the wall. I have just explained. Now we are moving to elections. ICASA is empowered in line with Section 57 of the Electronic Communications Act to allocate what is known as party election broadcast slots, PEBs. ICASA has done so, as well as to, once we have allocated party election broadcast slots to political parties and independents participating in local government elections, in this case, we then have to monitor that those party election broadcast slots are adhered to in the appropriate manner. We embarked in that exercise. These elections were very, very, very strenuous because of the truncated basis under which they were conducted. We worked overnight. We managed to allocate PEBs to political parties and independent candidates. For the first time ever, we gave slots to independent candidates. As we speak, the ECA does not recognize independent candidates. However, on the back of a Concord judgment sometime last year, that going forward, independents would need to be accommodated even for national elections, and that parliament needs to embark on a process. We were then advised, legally so, that we should start catering for independent candidates in the allocation of PEPs. And that's what we have done. It was a proof of concept, but it was successful, and it will improve as the years unfold. Now, as part of this election process, there is also a conflict resolution or conflict complaints assessment leg, whereby members of the public or political parties are allowed to contact the ICASA if they feel that there is something untoward done by either the public broadcaster or any other broadcaster in this respect. We have not referred any complaint to the ICASA's Complaints and Compliance Committee, known as the CCC. So in this elections, we would like to place it on record. We have not received any complaint which has been referred to the CCC. The complaints received were about three. One referred to the incorrect reference to a political party president. I think it related to the Pan-Africanist Congress, the PAC. The other one related to an organization or a political formation that looks into the interests of our physically disabled in the country. And one other complaint related to the SABC is the one that I've referred to, where the SABC said to have attributed a wrong name to a PAC president and so forth. All these have been handled through correspondence between ICASA, the SABC, and the relevant complainants. And having assessed those, the outcome was such that we did not need to refer anything to the CCC. So that's where we are, honorable members, in terms of elections. There will be a final report. We are in the process of compiling a final elections monitoring report, which will be submitted and presented upon in conjunction with the IEC, because we work very closely with the IEC. There was another complaint from BFM it related to the Democratic Alliance, that political adverts were played without a top and bottom disclaimer. It's a matter that we are still looking at. Top and bottom disclaimer, honorable members, is when a political advertisement starts, there has to be that voice that says, this political advertisement is not the views of the radio station involved or television station involved. It is the views of the political party, you know, something to that effect. So I think in certain respects, there may have been an omission to that effect, but it's something that we are, as ICASA, busy just looking into. But there are no CCC referrals, and it's an important step or stage to note. And there are no complaints lodged with ICASA on the SABC's editorial policy or anything to that effect. Honorable Chairman Eli, I hope I have saved the time. I just tried to be as clear as possible, but keeping it to the allocated time. I will step off here, Honorable Chairman Eli and Honorable Members, and we are in your hands for questions at the right time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Fikasa. We'll now take BBI. Over to you, and thereafter we'll then engage. Thank you. Just for purpose of record, Honorable Matosi has put it on the platform for committee support, if you can take note of that, that she would be out of the meeting as a result of the vaccination task that she has. So in that case, if we do not get to speak to her, it will be because of that. But we'll now give to BBI.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Lois Okiha. I do represent the Chair of BBI, who could not make it to the meeting. But the presentation will be done by the CEO, supported by the CFO. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, the representatives of the department, and the Deputy Minister, if he's still here. I know he gave an indication that he would be leaving. I just need assistance from the Secretariat in terms of, for a while, the ability to share was blocked. Can I just confirm if the presentation is visible?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Chair, I will, my name is Andrew Matseke. I'm the CEO of Broadband Infraco, and I will be assisted with some of the financials by the Chief Financial Officer, Ian van Niekerk. Chair, I will take the report as read, and the Deputy Minister in his summation already covered the key issues, so I will get straight to it. The main issue around the historical underperformance of BBI relate to the ability to access funding to invest in the network and grow the business. But we have, while working on the shareholder loan conversion into equity that would strengthen the balance sheet and enable the entity to raise funding, we didn't just focus on that. We have been working on a turnaround plan that covers sales activities, the issue of BBI not having an ECS license, as well as the increase in capacity on the network and several internal processes that would enable the company to operate efficiently. The approach is in order for BBI to become financially sustainable, it needs to grow revenue. And to grow that revenue, BBI needs to be able to invest in upgrading and expanding its network. And once that is done, or while that is being done, we have a focus on building a sales pipeline. And in the 2018-19 financial year, we actually met our sale target of signing new sales contracts. But yeah, since then, there has been some changes in the market, and the fact that we haven't been able to invest in our network meant that we have regressed from where the high that we had in the 2018-19 financial year. And the other area where we have experienced growth is in the small to medium ISPs. And those ISPs, they have, a lot of them became aware of BBI's capabilities through our involvement with the SA Connect project. The SMMEs now represent about the, when I say SMME ISPs, internet service providers, they now represent between 70 to 80% of our customer base. The process of capacitating the sales environment in terms of people headcount, we are working on that. And there is an indication from the a recent report that was produced by BMIT that indicates that there is appetite in the market for the high capacity connectivity that BBI offers. This is just an indication of the sales pipeline that we are working on and what is possible, you know, as we invest in the network to be able to serve the market better and make the company financially sustainable. So this is an indication, Chair. I think this picture is helpful in terms of tracking the growth in customers. So we, you know, we finished the 2021 financial year with over 100 customers, having had 46 customers in 2018. So, you know, that's more than double the customer base. I think this one is just an indication of the decline in headcount over the last couple of years. The DM also mentioned that you know, the historical investment in BBI, the last one by the shareholders, having been in the 2010-11 financial year. In the last 5 years, while we were working on the conversion of the shareholder loans into equity so that we can raise funding, we have been using cash generated from operations to invest in capacity in the network, but you know, that is insufficient to grow the business purely from cash from operations, and it also means working capital that should be used to fund other obligations is then diverted into capital investment. It's not how a lot of businesses do not operate that way. The investments in assets such as the network normally use funding sourced from the banks or from the shareholders for that purpose. And then the cash that is generated from operations is then used to service the debt if the the investments are made using capital from the banks. So we have spent 460 million in the last 6 years investing in the network. So the approach that we are taking is that there is a market out there, the market has further been confirmed by the opportunities that our sales team have worked on. We need to make our network scalable to match the demand that is out there. We have identified just over R1 billion of rand of critical investment that is needed for the next 4 years. If we make those investments, then we will start growing the revenue of BBI from its current levels, which represent 10% of the wholesale market. We will be able to grow that to our plan at this stage is to at least double that, to have a minimum of 20% market share in the wholesale connectivity market. By doing that, we will then start increasing the revenue of the company. And with revenue increase, then we will be able to get the company on the path towards financial sustainability. What we are looking at is a hybrid from a funding point of view of project financing, as well as borrowings that are guaranteed from the balance sheet. This is what the DM indicated, that we are currently taking that proposal through board approval. We are planning to take it to the shareholders by the end of next week, the 10th of December. In terms of the activities regarding funding, we have engaged commercial banks, we will resume again once the board and the shareholders give the go-ahead. We've also been looking at funding from vendors, where instead of spending upfront capital, we can have a deployment of networks funded by the vendors, and then we pay for the asset over a period of time and take ownership later. We are also talking to developmental finance institutions such as the DBSA and the IDC. In the past, Chair, we've also looked at funding from private equity players. With the shareholder loans being converted and the balance sheet stronger, the case is better for DFIs and commercial banks. Chair, then the second issue that we've been asked to report on was prompted by audit findings relating to information security and cybersecurity, several interventions have taken place since then. One is that the board of BVI has got a technology subcommittee that is now assisting management in mitigating these risks. In around September, October 2020, last year, just over a year ago, we appointed a cybersecurity specialist on a contract, fixed-term contract, and we have so far successfully closed 88% of the audit findings, and we are working towards completing 100% of those audit findings before the end of the current financial year. We have also, since the specialists join us, reviewed policies as well as developed new policies that are going through that technology committee for approval. We have also put a cybersecurity insurance cover in place. And with COVID-19 having created a situation where we are working from home, we have created or we have put in interventions that make working from home from a cybersecurity point of view to be the same as if one is working from the office in terms of the packages that we are using, including Mimecast. And then lastly, on the issue of cybersecurity, we have also developed or updated our policies to be compliant with the POPI Act. This is just an indication, Chair, of the audit findings, where we are. 43 out of 49 resolved, and we are working on this, the last six, which will be completed, as I said, before the end of the current financial year. Okay, then lastly, we've also, on the merger of BBI and Centec, the minister, having looked at the timelines for the completion of the project, of the process, as well as the original approach, which would have required that the Broadband InfraCo Act and the Centec Act be replaced by a new law, which was going to take time. The minister looked at the option of BBI acquiring Centec. And that approach is informed by the strength that is in the BBI Act in terms of its mandate, and that if this approach works out, it will shorten the process of the merger by taking away the need to draft a brand new piece of legislation. So we are working on that approach at the moment. The department, as well as the boards of BBI and Centec, and the intention from the ministry is that we need to complete this process before the end of the current financial year. And that's the target that we are working on, Chair. I think this is just an indication of the engagements that we are having with employees to try and communicate the approach that has been put in place by the minister, as well as the delivery of the corporate plan for the merged entity before the end of the current financial year. Going concern, I would like the CFO of BBI, Ian van Niekerk, to assist in presenting this last item to the committee. Ian?
Thank you, CE. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, on the platform, the DMRC is still there. Good morning, and colleagues from other entities. Chair, the going concern is really a combination of all the items, you know, that the CEO have presented during the presentation. And it's really to what the auditors view as a going concern for BBI to continue, you know, entering and doing business in the normal course of, you know, day-to-day operations, if you like. So now that the conversion of the shareholders' loans to equity has been resolved and done, as the CEO indicated, you know, that significantly improved the balance sheet of BBI, which really only leaves the next step in ensuring that we move away from this going concern matter that continues to be raised, and that is improving the operations of BBI. And by getting access to funding and expanding on our network, that'll give us the opportunity to really leverage off of that, improve our sales and revenue, which will then drive the profitability of BBI. And having done that, you know, obviously will put us in good stead in you know, delivering a compelling argument to the auditors to indicate that we are in fact a going concern. And then the only item that really adds to BBI's not having a clean audit report is the going concern. So with that done, then we have that opportunity to move away from that. Thank you.
This was the last item on BBI presentation. Back to you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Chair, over to you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister and entities. Honourable Members, I would now afford you an opportunity to engage with the presentation. I will then identify the hands from members who would want to speak. You will assist me, Ajira, in case I do not see.
Yes, Chairperson, I'll do that.
Chair.
Honorable Pambo.
Chair, mine is not much of a question. I would like to rather invite the Chair of ICASA to speak a little bit more on the auctioning of the spectrum. And especially because it seems like he is very excited about it. And I don't think that auctions are necessarily fair and equitable as he says they are, because they favor those who have money. And the other players will not have the same enjoyment as you know, the you know, those who belong to the duopoly are in the game. So I think that he must take us through what he thinks or why he thinks auctions are the best. As opposed to looking at, you know, the other players who ordinarily will not be able to bid against the big players. So I think that it will be interesting to hear from him, you know, breathe a little bit more on the auctioning of the spectrum. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Pambo. May I just check if there are other hands?
Nothing on this side.
Okay, we'll then give the Chair of ICASA to Deputy Minister to respond at this point. Honorable Mbele indicates it's covered in that. Can I then get that response?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair Mameli. Honorable Pambo, thank you very much for the question as well. It's a helpful question to clarify. So, Honorable Pambo, in South Africa, the approach we are taking is that of a dual approach. We have the auction earmarked, you know, more or less for incumbents. And when I say incumbents, I'm not only talking about the six infrastructure players, which is Cell C, Telkom, Vodacom, Rain, Liquid, Telecoms, and MTN. By incumbents, I'm referring to all the operators who have been licensed. Now, through the license conversion process of the early 2000s, we are now sitting in this country with over 300 licensees, network service licensees. Now, the process.
Seems your line is not
Chair.
That helpful. Yes. Honorable Pambo?
I'm struggling to hear, Chair.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to address. Seem not to hear him properly. The line is not it's not good in that school.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Can you try again, Chair of ICASA? Because I couldn't hear really.
Can you hear me a bit better now?
Try again, Chair.
Yes, I was asking, can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yeah, it's not good at all, I must say. I'm not sure with other members, but yeah. I think wherever you were at the time of presentation, that was probably a better spot.
All right, please give me just 5 minutes, kindly 5 minutes, and then I will respond to the question. 5 minutes only.
All right. May I just check in the meantime if there are members who would want to also raise questions so that we maximize the time we have? Is that Honorable Kumbo? And your network is also.
Yes, Chair. Not,
okay.
No, so, I was saying that.
All right, I think whilst we try and wait for the chair of CASA, and I take it that you'd be able to hear. I think for me, there are just a few things that you may need to clarify. Firstly, I must appreciate the presentation, especially the point made by the chair that the regulator has to ensure at all times that public interest is protected, but you do that in a way that ensures that the economy is still it's able to function, and that is through a contribution by industry. So once you keep that balance, it then helps. I think this has been the view of the committee even at the time that there were litigations on temporary spectrum, and that for all parties, I think they should find lasting solutions in a way that helps the country to move forward, especially on commitments made. So I think that you should live with that understanding that there's still support in that regard. But as you come back to explain, it may be important to still come back on the own question that in the period that you are going to be looking at what happens elsewhere and so on, given that this was already a matter considered with timelines that you would have put up, maybe indicate whether this is just about checking what happens elsewhere, or it does take into account some concerns or different views that have been expressed around one on whether in the current form it would be able to be that instrument of the transformation we want to see in the digital economy. So as you come back to respond, look at that. Maybe BBI can also prepare themselves, because I had an issue with BBI. Happy, of course, with the feedback that the issues of the loans have now been finalized, its equities, and it changes the balance sheet, and you can be able to get to the market. But in the presentation itself, you do make this indication that whilst this is a positive that you have, but it does not really take everything out in terms of what you would have experienced, cash flow issues and so on, especially when you want to expand the infrastructure. And the question, therefore, for me would be, what, when you look at the measure, it's also about helping to improve the situation. And you've taken the route of acquisition. How is that addressing this going concern issue that we have been speaking about? And I want you to indicate maybe if there's a way that you've worked already, some projections. Because if you are putting the two entities, we know where Sentec stands financially and so on, with the challenges that you've already expressed with the BBI, whether that measure give us the positives that you would want of a functional entity, understanding what Sentec has been able to do over years, also really not that funded by government in terms of their own projects. Right. So I'm just saying, when you brief us, we would also want to know those so that we don't come back later and say probably the measure would have not yielded the results that everybody thought of. Because the measure is not just about reducing the number of entities, but it must result in functionality of such an entity that would be at the end put together. So especially the timelines that we have. So if you can also come back to that issue of the measure. I take it that by now, the chair of ICASA would be in a better spot to continue. Dr. Mudumi?
Thank you, Honorable Chair Maneli. Yes, I hope you can hear me well.
Quite good.
All right, thank you. Sorry about that mishap. That's why we need spectrum licensed, Honorable Chair Maneli. No, Honorable Pambo, thanks for the question. Indeed, it's a helpful question. Now, in terms of the spectrum auction, so in South Africa, more often than not, we happen to think that we only have six infrastructure players. Generally, that would be more of a common understanding in society, which is not the case. What is happening is that through the conversion of what used to be known as the VENS licenses, you know, value-added network licenses during the time of the formulation of the ECA in the early 2000s, what happened at the time was that these VENS licenses were converted into what we now know as network service licenses issued by ICASA, We are sitting with over 300 license holders. Now, if you have this high demand spectrum that you want to auction or you want to license, let me not say auction, you want to license, how are you going to choose to give to a certain maybe say Mahlangu communications, and there is a certain Pambo communications, you are now sitting with a license, it was converted during the period, and you want spectrum. So in this case, it becomes very, very difficult for ICASA to can license this kind of spectrum to incumbents, because that Mahlangu telecoms is an incumbent. I'm just making a
seem to be muted.
We regulate a capital intense market, and the capital intensity of our market requires licensees to be able to launch services. So if there is a licensee who's sitting with a license, one of those 300, at least if they can raise capital to participate in a transparent auction process, there wouldn't be a problem, because ICASA will know that we availed spectrum, a transparent public auction was held, everyone was given room to apply, which is an important aspect of it. Everyone who wanted to apply, applied, and they bid for the spectrum that they think they would need for their particular services. So I'm trying to explain it more clearer within the South African context, that when we say auction, and we talk of incumbents, we don't only mean the six. Anyone who currently has a license can participate. Now, this is why we also have the WOAN. The WOAN is for those who don't have a license. It means consortiums made up of a number of sections of our society, according to how the ITA will be framed, can join hands together, put a competitive, formidable application. And they will, as part of being licensed for the WOAN, they will be given a network service license to can operate the WOAN. When we look at the previous ITA, before we were taken to court, we had put in very important safety nets, like compulsory 30% capacity offtake, whereby industry players would be by law obliged to get capacity about 30% from the WOAN, to ensure that the WOAN does not become a white elephant. So the WOAN is an instrument of transformation, and that is why we want to make sure that we don't just license it as an exercise of just licensing, but we do it in a way that guarantees that the WOAN will succeed. So in short, just to recap, The auction is not only for the six incumbents, it's for everyone who currently holds a network service license in South Africa. They can raise money through banks or whatever means they can, and come and participate in an auction process. And then on the other side, we have the WOAN, a wireless open access network, which will be for those who don't have a license, but they can then put themselves together in a consortium to come and participate and apply in that WOAN process. And the successful bidder, after adjudication and all processes, will be awarded the license and will be a successful market player. So I hope we have clarified. There was a question around the WOAN and the studies we are undertaking. Indeed, Honorable Chairman Ely, we will be interacting with a number of countries. I can mention Mexico for one, because the Mexican model has been known to be, or at least Mexico has been known to be proponents of the WOAN. And through recent literature, it comes across that the WOAN has failed in Mexico and so forth. We did not commit ourselves for a Mexican copy and paste. That was never the intention. But as a responsible regulator, we will engage with them to learn, amongst others, not only Mexico, but we will engage with them to also learn from them. What were their challenges? What do they think in hindsight they could have done better? We look at that within the South African context to make sure that we come with a robust a wone that can stand the test of time. So you know, we believe, honorable members, in measuring our cloth 99 times and only cutting once, than doing the opposite, which is measuring once and ending up cutting the cloth 99 times. That's wastage. And that's exactly the approach we are embarking on with this wone licensing process. I'm happy, Honorable Pambo, through you, Honorable Chair, if maybe there is a follow-up, but if you are satisfied, there is still no problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bibi?
Chair, regarding the question that was put to BBI, firstly, you are correct that the conversion of the shareholder loans into equity only strengthens the balance sheet of BBI. It doesn't make any cash available out of that process. BBI still needs to follow a process of raising capital from the markets to invest in the network. So this is step one. The shareholder loan conversion is step one in the process that we have already described in a bit of detail. The issue of the merger. So the current approach is that BBI needs to address its a going concern status as a separate entity. So the going concern status is not being made a part of the merger with Sentech. So Sentech is not being used to subsidize BBI, if I can put it that way. So we're working on addressing the going concern status of BBI as a separate item from the process of the merger. In terms of the merged entity, once the two are combined, what does that outlook, what is that outlook like? This is something that is still a work in progress in terms of the strategy of the merged entity that we are going to present for approval of the shareholder before the end of the current financial year. There was a business case that was done by the department with the assistance of GTEC at National Treasury. But that was a process that was driven by the shareholder and not by the two entities. On our side, as BBI and Sentech, what we are working on is a combined strategy as well as the outlook. What will the combined entity look like going forward? And this will be completed as a deliverable before the end of the current financial year. Okay, back to you.
No, thanks for that response. I think it helps us as we continue doing oversight and monitoring this process of the measures. I want to just check before I give even to the Deputy Minister whether there are honourable members who would want to make follow-up questions, starting with Honourable Pambo, who would have asked that question, whether the ground has been covered. I think on my side, yes, it is. I just check if there are follow-up questions, so that if there are not, I give to the Deputy Minister if he would want to make up some points. Hajira, do you see any?
Nothing on my side, Chair.
Deputy Minister, if there's any point you'd want to make, having listened to the engagement of members and responses thereof.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the Chair of ICASA and the CEO of BPI have somehow responded to the question. I think the ICASA Chair has responded in quite a very comprehensive manner. Suffice to say, Chair, that the method of licensing that will be adopted by ICASA has to be fair, has to be competitive at the end of the day. And ICASA has chosen this method of auction, which they think is the best method to achieve competitiveness, to make sure that everybody else is able to participate in acquiring the spectrum. Of course, the point raised about the financial muscles of the other players, it's a point that I think the model that ICASA will put in place should be able to accommodate that through one or one, whichever way is get to be pronounced. But I think the chair of the regulator has spoken to that. Chair, the my apologies, the method of getting the two entities to merge, we felt that the most quickest way, or the minister felt that the quickest way to do it is to have one entity acquiring another. And when you look at the enabling legislation of the two entities, the BBI one is the one that will facilitate even what is being currently performed by Centec. So it is quite expansive. It is quite broad, that enabling legislation. And that's why the view is that BBI should then acquire Centec to facilitate for the speedy process. Of course, we are not presenting this model as the best. It might have its own teething problems, which is something that is currently being worked on by the department. Learning from other experiences, like in the Department of Mineral and Energy, a similar process was concluded in the recent past. So we're going to learn from that process as we move along. But otherwise, Chair, I think sufficient answers has been provided, and we're happy with that, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, for your closing remarks. After the entities would have responded, I take it that Ajira, from the point of the notice, we have dealt with the two items.
That is correct, Pepper.
Okay. So, having said that, like I said, it would appear honorable members have been covered, but also because we have been dealing with this matter, especially as it relates to Spectrum and the going concern of BBI. So it's really progress report. And I want to say, Deputy Minister, the reason we would want to keep an eye on it at all times is that we have committed as this committee that on some of the things that would have been looked at before would not want to be part of the statistics. That, yes, they came through the committees, but at the end we couldn't deliver on those. So we would want to see that the mandate of the sixth administration is delivered whilst we are still given the opportunity to do the oversight on those that must deliver. So we'll keep an eye, especially when there are timelines set. We all need to work towards realization of those timelines. So that's the reason we'll call you from time to time to come before the committee, because we want those assurances that we're able to meet the timelines. And I must say that it's really good news, whilst it may have been a short meeting, good news that we are still living with a sense of the balanced approach in what is being done, and an opportunity to still relook at some of the things when the need arises, so as to try and perfect them at the time of delivering by a particular time. So I think we really appreciate that from the side of the committee. So thanks for the presentations and keeping us up to date. We'll keep on supporting that there should be a delivery, and that delivery must also impact positively on bettering lives of South Africans. And that's why these entities are there, of course, led politically by ourselves. So thanks, and I know you said you'd want to be excused if we are not complete. So luckily we are done. And as I said, we'll be qualitative in the way we handle the items. Thanks, honorable members. So this meeting has now completed its business and it stays agenda until we meet in the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Goodbye.